Short Shorts with Josh and
Dan.
Dan, of course, Dan.
Short Shorts, we talk sports. Short Shorts.
It's Short Shorts with Josh and Dan. We'll give you $30 to listen to our show.
Checks will not be honored.
On tonight's episode of Short Shorts, Josh and Dan remove their undergarments for a 7-year-old schoolboy.
Why, here they come, Josh and Dan with the Short Shorts again.
Oh, you want to do a little podcast?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, well, I think we just started it right there.
Oh, look at you, you little sandbagger. the old switcheroo podcast when I don't know we're podcasting.
I know. I've actually been recording it for the last 10 minutes, so we can start whenever I want.
Wow, I'm horribly embarrassed, horribly embarrassed. All right, well, welcome, shorties. It's Short Shorts with Josh and
Dan.
That was a good time. Thoroughly enjoyed embarrassing myself to all two of our listeners.
Yeah, I know. I hope the Kool-Aid Man isn't one of our listeners. He won't be happy at
all. Yeah. Do our listeners know when you say the Kool-Aid Man what we're referring to?
Well, I mean, just to clarify, the Kool-Aid Man, the guy who does the voice for Kool-Aid Man, does our intro. He's great.
I guess when I say clarify, it's not that, like, there's that many Kool-Aid Mans out there in our society. But this is the Kool-Aid Man we're talking about. The guy who has a tendency of running through brick walls and forcing people to drink sugary red drinks.
Yeah, we have the actual Kool-Aid Man doing our intro, not the actor who plays him. We actually have the cartoon character.
Let's just say that there are a lot of holes in our apartments right now.
Yeah,
as a result. Every single time we do that intro, he runs through the wall.
Repeatedly. But it's fun.
Anyone who says we don't pay our price for this podcast, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I know. You guys out there, you better watch it.
Yeah.
So anyway, sports, right?
Anyways.
Sports?
Sports, sure. Why not? Short shorts. Let's kick it.
Short shorts. Well, I know one thing Dan and I are both proud of is that we both spent a lot of time watching Stephon Marbury doing his live webcam a few days ago. I think
that was unbelievable.
It was Friday, right?
That was the better part of an entire day for me, and I think a good chunk of America, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think the thing with that was that even if you had something planned, you probably delayed it for an hour or just didn't do it at all because you watched... That's not really fair to say everybody did that, but I think if you're like me or Dan, you probably put some things off to watch Stephon Marbury.
Like me or Dan, you mean unemployed and absolutely love when professional athletes lose their mind completely?
Yeah, I think there's a couple people like that out there.
Yeah, just one or two. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I think I got several emails and several, I saw people's Facebook statuses or Twitters, tweets, whatever, saying like, oh my God, you need to check this link out. And of course it was Stephon Marbury.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of that for me also. Do you have a favorite moment from Stephon Marbury's debacle?
Ooh, it's so many good ones to choose. I was a big fan of when they just cut out all of the conversation, and it was just him doing water workouts.
That was good.
But the best part of him doing water workouts was he didn't even seem like he was in good shape. He seemed completely, it seemed like he had the intention of doing a couple laps, but then after each lap, he would be, hunched over, catching his breath. He was devastated.
Yeah, no, that was an ugly sight, but that's kind of what you expect from it, I guess.
Yeah, I also liked when I think at one point he claimed that Jay-Z tried to murder him.
That was way up there for me.
In a song, it was a little unclear, but nonetheless, Jay-Z apparently has beef with Starberry.
Well, he was very taken aback when somebody brought up Jay-Z in the chat room, and he was just Jay-Z tried to kill me one time, and then started talking about some crazy stuff that made no sense, but I guess that's... You know, that was par for the course for those 24 hours, those glorious 24 hours.
It comes with the territory when you have a professional athlete who's completely lost his mind. So what, do you think he was taking some sort of drugs, right?
I don't think Marbury's on drugs. I think he's just, legitimately crazy, which makes him appear like he might be on a large cocktail of drugs. But in actuality, he's just...
A large cocktail of drugs, that sounds amazing.
I think he's just got I think he's just crazy. I don't think he's even, got, mental problems. I think he's just naturally a crazy person who has, no self-control.
I think that qualifies as mental problems, but I think we're arguing semantics here. We're both on the same page that he's out of his mind.
All right.
A couple sandwiches short of a picnic.
Yeah, Marbury's insane. My favorite moment of the entire thing was probably when I think someone in the chat room kind of was questioning whether he can jump anymore or not, kind of saying he has no hops, and then Marbury proceeded to go into the kitchen and jump from the ground of the kitchen onto the countertop.
That's impressive. I mean, I do that all the time, no big deal, but, it's more impressive when Marbury does it then.
I know. Well, you know, I guess that proves once and for all that he can still jump, so good for him.
Yeah, and it proves once and for all that he's completely lost his mind. Do you think he has any future career in the NBA after this?
Well, I don't think this was, like, the one thing that's going to prevent him from getting on a team. I think it was kind of like, you know, this stuff aside, I think there's I don't know who would bite on him.
Tough to tell. He really did not. I don't think he ever really fit in well with the Celtics, regular season or playoffs. You know, you could make the argument that he never got into game shape, but he was with them for well over 2 months. I guess he was only playing like 3 or 4 minutes a game, and it's tough to get into game shape with that kind of time.
It's also hard to like prove anything when you're joining a team that late and getting such limited time. Like, you know, I don't think a team would want him based off the way you played on Boston last year. I think they'd want him.
So let's say this like complete insanity meltdown never happened. Do you think he would be playing with a team next year? Or any time in the next couple of years?
See, I don't think the meltdown thing really matters, the video thing.
I don't think so? He, like, lost his mind in front of a national audience.
Oh, he definitely lost his mind, but I feel like
why would you add that to your locker room? He already had a bad stigma about him prior, and now it's like, that was pure speculation. Now it's like, he's insane. He is insane. Why would you add that to your locker room?
But that's what I'm saying. I think people, definitely especially inside the NBA, people that are, like, involved more. Like, I think they knew he was crazy. And maybe now they think he's a little more crazy than he was, but I think, like...
A little more crazy. Well, at least they know that he's capable of jumping on the kitchen countertop, so...
Yeah, that'll definitely come in handy when he joins the team.
Yeah, if that ever becomes, like, a statistic that's valuable to NBA GMs, then his agent better be standing by his phone.
Well, I mean, you gotta give him one thing. He's getting a lot of attention. And, you know, I'm sure he wanted a lot of attention, especially for Starberry... His wonderful brand of clothing and perfume accessories.
He was offering people jobs at Starberry or something along those lines.
Well, the best thing was that he was offering people jobs and talking about like the 6% commission you can get. But like, but the worst part was
examples, right?
No, but the worst thing was that it wasn't even like he kept telling people to visit the website, but that section of the website wasn't even like updated or finished yet. So he was trying.
I love that he was like, so if you sell 6 million shirts. You will get a percentage that will roughly add up to $1 million. And it's just like, I don't think anybody is making $1 million off of Starberry.
Right.
And how are you going to sell 6 million Starberry t-shirts?
It's hard enough selling like
there's that many people out there that are that interested in it.
No. But it was a great example. And his math is exceptional. You got to give him that.
Oh, yeah. Top notch. If he doesn't have a career in the NBA, he's definitely got a statistics career ahead of him.
Well, I mean, he's definitely getting a lot of attention. And I don't think he expected positive attention. He has an article on him on the front page of ESPN.com right now. So,
I saw that.
You know, I mean, like, for as crazy as he is and as many people are kind of, like, ripping on him for what he did, he's still getting a lot of attention. So, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, you need to say attention at the cost of what, though? There's different kinds of attention, you know?
You know, he might have thought going into this that his career was over and he wanted to have, like, you know, one last hurrah. And just
here's what I think. I think that he's insane. And then I think he was on drugs, and that's all that was going through his mind. And he had said a couple points during the his little webcast that he had been trying to get like a reality TV show from Bravo or whatever it was, and that they turned him down, which is pretty sad, by the way.
Oh yeah.
And then I think this was his attempt to try and get some sort of like prove to them that he has like an audience out there.
You know, that's possible. I mean, do you think he's kind of like similar to T.O. in that way, but T.O. actually got a reality show.
I was starting to think of T.O. with his... Did you watch any of his reality TV show?
I didn't even know it started yet. Is it good?
Oh, I mean, I didn't see any of it. I saw clips of it through SportsCenter, and all you need to know is that he speaks in the third person,
yeah,
and that every scene is like completely scripted.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's awful. It's so bad. And he was like trying to throw down game on this woman that was like selling him a house in Buffalo, I think. Something along those lines.
How did that go?
I don't know. Maybe she slept with him, maybe she didn't. Who knows?
Well, T.O. and Starberry are kind of similar in that, I mean, T.O. still plays, granted, not at the same level, but they're both like, you know, in their like early 30s, early mid-30s. They're both really good. Well, T.O. was really, really good 10 years ago, but Starberry was like a guy with a ton of potential. Everybody thought he'd, like, you know, kind of turn into a consistent, reliable point guard. And now they're just, like, desperate for attention. It's kind of sad. I mean, who
cares? Not only that, but they're also both seen as kind of like a locker room cancer kind of players. That it's, like, not, like, if you get them, here's the plus side, but there's a whole lot of downside.
Yeah, I think the ideal scenario with these two guys is to give them their own reality show where you just, like, lock them in a house together for a couple
together.
Weeks.
Nice. I like that.
For weeks at a time.
I think we should try and have them on our podcast.
I mean, if they're this desperate and we can tell them about our viewership we get, I think they'll probably be interested.
Absolutely. I mean, Mrs. Ryman gives us glowing endorsements. How would they not want to be on our podcast?
So, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, this all Starbright thing's crazy. I think we can all agree he's insane.
Yes.
With or without drugs. And, you know, I guess he's getting what he wants in some way.
Yeah. Hey, while we're on basketball a little bit, I noticed the other day it was a little under the radar trade. I want to know what you thought about this. Tyson Chandler for your boy, Emeka Okafor.
Oh, that is my boy.
He is your boy. I don't know why he's your boy. I think during one of our first podcasts, we did like an all dream team or our all star team, all chemistry team. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Didn't you have Okafor as your starting center over Dwight Howard?
You bet I did.
Yeah, I remember that. I've lost all credibility in you ever since.
Do you go back into the archives and listen to each Short Shorts episode every day?
Oh, every single day. I mean, what do you do with your spare time?
That was pretty exceptional memory.
When I'm not busy jumping on kitchen counters, I listen to previous episodes of Short Shorts.
Start combining both in the future just to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, it's good pump-up music, you know? It really gets me fired up.
Okafor's my boy. In terms of that trade, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and say I know what's going on financially, because I really don't, but I feel like, in terms of the trade itself, I like Okafor a little more.
A little more? I mean, a lot more. Both of them have injury problems. Okafor probably a little bit more than Chandler, but Chandler over the past year of his career more so than Okafor. And at least Okafor was a number one overall draft pick. So you just traded a former number one overall draft pick for Tyson Chandler?
Yeah, but you can't go by where you're taken, or I can pull a Darko card on you.
Yeah, well, that was a really stupid pick, whereas the Okafor pick wasn't a stupid pick.
I mean, he's been working out well.
He's a good player. He's just kind of on a crummy team that's kind of... It's not that they're really bad. They're just, like, they're not making any progress, it seems like.
The Bobcats?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Iverson going to the Bobcats?
I think I think it's a decent fit because I'm not going to say they're going to win a championship or upset any of the top seeds in the East, but I think it'll help them make the playoffs. I think you've got Larry Brown in place to keep Iverson in check. I mean, I've said this a couple times before, and I think the Bobcats' biggest problem is that they have some role players. You know, you have guys like Diao and Rajah Bell and Gerald Wallace and Okafor. Those are all good positional players, but you don't have that guy that's going to take over a game offensively.
How about
your
boy?
Every now and then you see glimpses of Wallace doing it, but he's just not going to do it for 82 games. He's not going to do it for 60 games. He's going to do it for 30 games max. I think a guy like Iverson, this late in his career, you know, he's not going to do it for 82 games either, but he could do it for more than Gerald Wallace can do.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely better with him than without him. It's just a matter of, like, can they figure stuff out financially? In terms of Okafor and Chandler, it's like, I mean, Hornets are making a move, and that's great and all, but it's not like this move is going to put them into, like, the top tier of the West, you know?
You don't think so? I mean...
Top tier? Look at them last year.
Well, they lost in the first round last year?
Yeah, but just, like, the team in general. I mean, they were so much better two seasons ago.
Well, I think that's just because something was wrong with their chemistry last year. It wasn't so much a... If anything, the roster... Well, Peja Stojakovic had a pretty awful year. They should have been better because with the Posey acquisition... They still have James Posey. If Peja could have a rebound year, David West could have a rebound year. I think they've got an upgrade at center. Chris Paul should only, you know, stay on par for where he's been. I think they could have a really good year.
See, but
I think if they start off slow, Byron Scott is the first coach to be fired.
But all these things you're saying, except for the Okafor upgrade, apply to last year. So, you know, why didn't they
you're
play
right.
well last year?
Well, but yeah, I think the big X factor is David West. David West was an all-star 2 years ago, and he wasn't this past year.
That's true.
So it's not like he's on the downward end of his career. He should only be getting better. So it's a lot is on him because they really do. Chris Paul and that whole Hornets team is better when Paul is distributing the ball and not scoring as much, I think.
All right, I got a question for you.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Who do you think has a better team this coming season in terms of their record? The Hornets or the Blazers?
Ooh, I like that. Well, for starters, I love that Andre Miller pickup. When the Blazers were going after Turkoglu, I thought that didn't make any sense. you're getting an aging scorer when they already have young scorers. So all he is taking the ball out of younger players' hands. With mm-hmm. Andre Miller, you're getting a guy that doesn't need to, you know, put up a lot of numbers, but he's a good veteran presence in the locker room, which is just something a young team needs. And he's a point guard. So if any position you want a veteran, you want a point guard as your veteran because he kind of helps mold the team a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be great. So Bob, what was it, Bobcats versus Blazers?
Blazers versus Hornets.
Oh, Hornets. Oh, shit, that's hard. Blazers versus Hornets? I'm going to go Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to go Hornets. Scratch that.
Are you sure?
I don't trust that. I think that the Blazers still have a too big of a... They're too small.
I mean...
And Greg Oden doesn't count because I don't think he's ever going to amount to anything.
And that was the thing with last
NBA,
year.
I'm sure he's a very nice guy and fun to play cards with and stuff, but...
Great to play cards with.
I bet he's a really good bridge player.
Well, I think the thing with last year was that people thought they'd make this huge jump, and they definitely were better last year than the season before. But everybody was saying preseason that Oden would win Rookie of the Year since he didn't play play it on his first season.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say he was not very close to winning Rookie of the Year.
Right, and now the Oden experiment definitely continues. You don't give up on him, and he's still 21 years old or whatever. It just seems like when you're thinking about how the Blazers might fare next year, you can't really factor in Oden too much because you just don't really know what you're going to get out of him.
You know what's interesting thing about what would the Blazers look like if they took Durant over Odom?
I mean,
well, for starters, Oklahoma City would be a train wreck. I can tell you that right now.
Oh my God, it'd be terrible.
You know what's interesting about that is that they took, or it seems like a large reason why they took Odom over Durant was out of character. You know, Odom seemed like a good character guy, and he's lived up to that billing, but. What's happened since then is that Durant has been like the essence of what a good character guy in the NBA. I mean, he's David Stern's dream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have that kind of reputation when he was coming into the league. He seemed like, for whatever reason, he kind of had this image of maybe more rough around the edges. You needed to mold him a little bit so he could play the game, the business end of the game. But he's been great. I read the other week that he went out to Las Vegas to like root for his rookie team that's playing in the summer league. He went to the NBA draft last year
to
see who they got when they got Westbrook. He's like, I mean, he's a team player. He loves
the thing
team.
That I'll say
he
about
all the right things, does all the right things, and he's been healthy and he's put up an he's coming off of an amazing season.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that we love Stink Juice. He's our man, number one.
That's Jay, baby.
The thing with judging character is, like, I'm sure that definitely played in, but it's really hard to tell how an 18- or 19-year-old will fare in the NBA until he actually gets in that environment, and you just kind of, like, let it play itself out, you know?
You're right, but I mean, you have to say, though, that Portland, a team that's, you know, really likes to build around their city with good character guys, seems like, I mean, obviously skill level they chose incorrectly. But in character, it seems like they made the wrong assumption.
Well, it's also like, if Greg Oden was more involved in playing 75 games a year and doing well, I think he'd you'd see more of his character and you'd be able to like get more of his personality and the such, you know?
That's true.
He's just like always in the bench.
Even if he is healthy for 75 games, I just don't think he's going to be a top-tier center.
I don't know. I think this year, obviously, Kevin Durant gets even better. But I think he gets to a point this year where he's, like, a top five scorer in the NBA. If he wasn't already, you know? I
think so as well. I was disappointed that the Oklahoma City Okie Sit didn't draft Rubio.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the whole thing was so weird. There's just a lot of strange things happening there.
Whatever. We don't have to get into the draft. We've already covered that. But I was just surprised that I thought he would have been a really cool fit for them.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of, like, young, fun guys.
They got that guy from, like, Arizona State or Arizona or something like that, right? Like, good role player, kind of old school, kind of rough player.
Something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the bottom line is that it's a really fun team, and I guess in a way it's good that he's being featured so much because he's able to develop himself and have a lot more of the onus on him, so...
I just think it would open up the game for Westbrook if they had a true point guard for Westbrook. These games would open up even more so than Durant's, to be honest with you.
What, Speedy Claxton's not cutting it for you?
Speedy Claxton's doing more than cutting it, but I just think maybe like little Speedy Gonzalez Rubio would do something special out there.
Who do you like better based on name alone? Speedy Claxton or Tractor Trailer?
Speedy Claxton.
Oh, that is so wrong.
I just love it. It's such an amusing name.
Tractor Trailer?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He's so huge. I don't even know if he plays anymore, but he was an enormous guy.
Well, one would hope he's huge. He either needs to be really huge or absurdly small. I don't want any of his, like, he's like 6'2 kind of business, you know?
That's very true.
Yeah.
All right, what do you say we get to recap a little bet we made last week?
Sure, let's do it, man.
All right, so last week, Dan and I bet on the WNBA All-Star Game, a fascinating event happening once a year. Now, if I remember correctly, I think you chose the West.
I chose the West because of my my girl Diana Extreme Taurasi.
Yep, Extreme was there. I chose the East, I think as a default, but that was okay because they had home court advantage, and they had a lot of like people with funny names in their team, so I thought it might work out. But it didn't, because the West won. Taurasi played really a nice game. Really, really nice stuff. And, you know, that's really all we can say about the game, because, you know, who really cares, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I sure as hell didn't watch it.
Yeah. So the West won. And the wagers kind of doesn't really matter, because we both did it. But
I kind of just felt left out, and it's like any opportunity to make fun of the WNBA. Obviously, I'm hopping on that boat. You know?
Right. So the wager was to make a new tagline for WNBA, replacing "Expect Great." That's what it is, right? Expect Great.
Expect something. Who knows?
So what? We each have five or taglines or something?
Yeah, I came up with five.
All right. What do you say? You do your five first, and call for that drum roll before your last one.
Sounds good. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Go for it.
All right, number one, if Tyler Hansborough was a black woman league.
Wow, okay.
Is that a little too racy?
No, that's good. Start off nice. All right,
the Duke, UConn, and Tennessee Women's Association.
Nice.
Which is abbreviated with the D-U-T-W-A.
Dutois, yeah.
Who would win WNBA All Stars or Eddie Curry, Tyronn Lue, and the entire Memphis Grizzlies bench? Let's find out. The WNBA. let's see. Welcome to the WNBA, where one of 150 players can dunk.
Oh yes, that's good.
And then my last one is.
Wait.
Remember that humongous butch girl back in high school that everyone called Sasquatch? Welcome to the WNBA.
I think yours are like jokes. They're great.
Well, I wasn't going to be placing praise in the WNBA. So, I mean, considering that I won the bet and I still took the opportunity, obviously I'm making fun of the WNBA here.
That's great. I think I explored some similar themes to you. So,
let's hear it.
All right, so I'll do mine one at a time also. Okay, here we go. All right. WNBA, we dunk. No, wait, we don't dunk. WNBA, pretend we're not even here. WNBA, great seats still available. WNBA, WNBA, can't afford a tagline. And WNBA... where extreme drinking happens.
Nice. You got to throw that Taurasi shot, you know? I was laying off her with mine. She's my girl. That's like you're making fun of my girlfriend. Shit's awkward between us right now.
It was really sad that she had that entire conversation online with whoever covers WNBA and ESPN.com, whoever sad that is.
Yeah, well, ESPN.com did like a chat to like pump up the All-Star game, and it was her and I think Sue Bird.
Oh, Suey Bird, yeah.
Sue, and what was weird, I was like, for starters, it's like weird for the PR department of the WNBA, if they have one, to allow their like former face of the league, who just got arrested on extreme drinking DUI charges, to do a chat. But nobody like questioned it. If that happened in the NBA, if Stephon Marbury did like a chat in the ESPN.com right now, people will be ripping on him constantly. You know, there's no way anyone in the PR, like, for Marbury will let that happen.
I guess the difference is that people actually care about the NBA. Yes, and like, all jokes aside, like that's like, you know, I think that's really what it is. Like
you might be onto something.
You can really just, I think they can really push the envelope and try some really crazy stuff, and no one will ever know. Seriously,
that's true. We should really view the WNBA. It's just an amazing experiment, like an advertiser and marketer's dream. You know,
yeah, it's breaking new ground. I mean, like, who else do you think really read that chat transcript besides you and I?
Probably no one. And I think they probably had to make up their own questions.
Yeah, exactly. Come prepared.
And I wouldn't even be surprised if listeners of this podcast fast forwarded this segment while we were covering the WNBA.
Or just completely shut off, which is understandable.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. We might have lost listeners because of this, but that's okay. You know, we got to take a hit for our girls.
I know. We'll come back now because we're going to talk about baseball. So if you did mute it, or if you did step away for a second, come on back to the computer. We got some great news for you. We're going to talk about baseball.
So for this week's bet, first of all, we have some, we're not really breaking it, but let's just say we're breaking it.
No, break it.
Yeah, it's been broken. All right, let's do it. Clifford James Lee, I don't know if that's his middle name, but Clifford James Lee has been traded to the Philadelphia Phillies for some random guys. I'm sure they're good young pitchers, whatever. It seems like for Cleveland, that was kind of like a sure thing. You know, Cliff Lee was just putting up great numbers and not doing much there, so that makes sense. And I think, especially looking at the National League, that's a huge pickup for Philly. They've got the division locked up. They've got, you know, assuming Hamels can kind of start turning it around, they have great offense. I think it's a two-team race for the National League right now. Maybe St. Louis with Holiday, and they've got some decent pitching. You know, the National League will be interesting.
And what this move makes interesting is that, obviously... Holiday is not going to go to the Phillies anymore.
Yeah.
So the question is where does he go? And the answer, we don't know, but we're going to take a guess at it right now with this week's bet.
So we've narrowed it down to six teams that he could possibly go to. The six teams are the Boston Red Sox, the Los Angeles Angels, Tampa Bay Devil Rays, Texas Rangers, New York Yankees, and the sixth being that he stays with Toronto. So right now, for your listening pleasure, Josh and I are going to conduct a little podcast draft, and we'll draft teams in order of which team we think is going to take them, and then we'll have those three teams as our bets for this week's bet.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we're going to do a quick little online rock, paper, scissor. Does that work for you?
All right,
I'll count out 1, 2, 3, and you just shout out whatever your little heart desires, Josh.
Okay, count it down.
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there just to mess with you.
Yeah.
Paper. All right?
Okay.
Think about that, buddy. Think about that.
That is messing with me. Go ahead.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, rock.
Rock.
Oh, okay. Good time. All right, we're going to go
again. Hardball
right
now? Okay, I can play hardball.
yeah, you like that? That was a changeup, sir.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, 1, 2, 3,
rock.
Scissors.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. All right, first pick of the draft.
With the first pick in the Roy Halladay free agency draft, I'm going to take the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, first overall pick.
You got to do it, because frankly...
All right. I'll go first. For my second pick, I'm going Boston Red Sox.
Okay. If you're taking Red Sox... my second round pick is going to be... Let's see. Let me take a little quick glimpse right here. All right. Why don't you give me the Yankees? There's definitely some uncertainty there. CeCe's being kind of weird. I feel like CeCe was going to be just like lights out, and he's having
a lot of shaky starts lately.
I
think a lot of people thought that, including Brian Cashman, the GM of the Yankees.
He just like, I don't know.
I think he still has a good second half in him.
I think so also. I feel like he
has a good August.
He's just been very shaky, and if there's anyone who's going to spend money, it's the Yankees. So you've got to give the Yankees a shot.
Well, it's not a matter of spending money. It's giving up prospects.
Oh, we're talking about prospects here. Okay.
Well, it's a trade. Yeah, and I just think that Cashman over the past couple of years has actually been pretty reluctant to give up pitching prospects.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm still going with the Yankees. I'm going with my heart.
All right. Follow your heart, Joshy.
I'm following.
All right. So you have Yankees in Toronto. I have Red Sox. I'm going to take a sleeper with this one. I'm going with Texas Rangers for the next pick.
Ooh, okay.
I think they've got a lot of good young prospects, and they might be making a run this year. I think they can maybe do some damage.
All right, so we're down to Angels and Rays, right?
Yeah, Angels and Rays.
All right, two teams.
Both two very likely teams, I think.
Yeah, and two teams with big holes in starting pitching.
Well, Tampa, I wouldn't say big holes, but it just hasn't lived up to what they thought it was going to.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, what Kazmir had a good start, like, what, 2 days ago, but he's been garbage all year long.
Yeah, Price has been a little iffy this year, Shields has been a little iffy. Yeah, I'm saying they have, like, the rotation, but it just hasn't been what they want it to be.
Right. I'm going to go with the Angels.
Okay.
Your boy Irvin Santana, just not getting it done. Just
for
really
the record, 100% not my boy, but continue.
It's really not getting it done. There's also another guy that pitches there. I forget his name. He's really not getting it done.
Yeah. Well, they have Lackey, Saunders.
No.
Saunders may have just been put on the DL. I'm not sure.
I just think that, like, especially once like Guerrero and Torrey Hunter get back, I feel like they're going to have to rely on their pitching. Well, they won't rely on it as much anymore, but then when they're like going down the stretch coming pennant time, you know, they're thinking about that now, and they're thinking about people they need to make that
I
run. So,
okay, that's good, because I'm okay with the Tampa Bay pick.
Yeah.
I think they were, you know, they still realize that they have a shot to get back to the World Series. They're only, you know, it's just last season that they were there representing the AL. I think they have a lot of good young prospects, and they still have a lot of good young pitching, so they could give up young prospects without really hurting their future at all. So I think they'd be willing to wait and kind of pull the trigger.
Okay, so quick recap. I've got Blue Jays, Yankees, and Angels.
Yeah, and I've got the Red Sox, Tampa, and the Rangers.
Okay, now if something crazy happens and he goes to a team we didn't include, I'd say we both lose.
Sure, why not? I mean, considering that I won last week but still did the bet.
Right, I guess, yeah. I guess these bets are kind of ridiculous, but that's life.
Well, whatever. All right, so we both lose, but for if we have one winner, what are we doing here?
Okay, so we're going to institute something called freezes. So
the old free agent freeze.
The free agent freeze. The way the free agent freeze works is that the winner gets two freezes to be used at any point during the podcast. Think Saved by the Bell, timeouts kind of thing. And the way it works is that if I have a freeze and Dan is talking about something, I can freeze him by screaming out a freeze. He has to stop mid-sentence. I can talk about anything I want for as long as I want. And then when I unfreeze him, he will continue his train of thought from before, however long ago it was, which should be challenging, interesting, and definitely educational also. I'm pretty excited.
Just a heads up, even though it's the slowest time of the year possible for hockey, if I win this bet, get ready for an entire two-hour podcast talking about nothing but hockey, because you're going to be in the freeze the whole time, baby.
Can you just freeze the second we start and then unfreeze me?
The second we start, freeze, and then right at the very end, I'll let you finish your thought.
You know what? I might not edit that part. I might edit the entire hockey part out, though. You're risking
you,
that.
You little sandbagger.
You're always risking that. So
yes, this is true. All right, man. So that's what we'll get in store for next week. We've got the trade deadline coming up this Friday, or next podcast. Probably get something going on Monday or Tuesday, hopefully.
Yes, sounds good. Do you want to do a little plugging?
So check us out on shortshorts.tumblr.com.
Good.
That's TUMBLR.com. sometimes I get it wrong, you know. And then we also we've been known to do the occasional tweet. We've got I have no idea what our tweet com page is.
Whatever. Well, it's twitter.com/.
We can get there from our webpage.
Yeah, but it's You know what? I'll make them work for it. I'm gonna make you guys work for it.
Yeah, seriously, come on.
Go to our webpage first, then we'll tell you.
Throw us a bone, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool. Good stuff, Josh. Have a good rest of your week.
All right, thanks so much, and enjoy Chex Mix.
Obviously. All right, sounds good, buddy. Take it easy.
All right, later.